Okay, guys, listen very closely to this clip right here.
In the morning of October 13th.
Early morning.
I had fallen asleep shortly after the last text to her friend, and I fell asleep, and then I had woken up around 7:15, and I had spent the whole night with her in her room, and when I woke up, she wasn't next to me anymore. And after just her demeanor and the way she was acting, and then waking up and her not being there, it was just like instant panic, because I'm like, she's not there, and then she's not in the house. And you think you're gonna find her just walking down the road, and she wasn't anywhere.
Well, you said because you stayed with her all night long.
All night.
And we'll talk about why in a minute, but you said when you woke up and she wasn't there, you instantly panicked when she wasn't there. What was it about her state of mind, her condition, that caused you to instantly panic instead of thinking she's in the kitchen or she's just in the living room or something like that?
I looked over and I'm like, Carly.
That was such a great point, okay? You know, you wake up, your child's not there, and the first thing you think is, oh my God, she's gone? Well, maybe she might be in the kitchen. Maybe she might be in the bathroom. You know, I found that very, very alarming. Because she also gives a little bit of a different description in the final live, from what she said there. And, you know, she's given so many different stories, and I'm glad that she admitted to lying about the dateline. But, I mean, it's hard to just trust just about anything she has said. And there's just something else I really, really want to have you guys hear regarding the Dr. Phil tape, something that just made me really angry. Two different things. Okay, so play them now. Okay, this next clip, Dr. Phil is going to be going into conversation about that first witness guy, and a lot of the stuff that is said here really bothers me.
You drift off to sleep, you wake up, and at 6:30 she's gone.
7:15.
That was the next time you wake up was 7:15.
Yeah.
If she left, it was between 5:30 and 7:15.
6 o'clock and 7:15, but the first witness says that he saw her at 6:30, walking down our street.
Okay, at 6:30. Okay, and he described her as being having a piece of paper.
Having a piece of paper.
Looking up at the sky, but being really skinny. I mean, he described
her. Yeah, he described her. And
long hair.
Long hair. She had a white t-shirt, gray sweatpants, and she was holding a piece of paper. And then in a later interview, he told the journalist that she was actually looking up at the stars, which he never told me. So then that makes you think, well, maybe she was still under the influence of something.
Okay. We wanted to talk to him as well, but y'all wouldn't give us his information. Why?
For the guy down the street?
Yeah, for the witness that saw her.
No.
We asked for his address so we could talk to him.
Nobody asked me for his address.
And I'm not going to, honestly, I'm not going to bring them in unless they say they want to. I mean, there's three witnesses, and the last one, I don't even know who it is.
Y'all wouldn't even give us your address.
We've had people stalking us and threatening us.
Yeah. I wouldn't stalk you?
No, but people that watch your show.
So have you ever seen me publish an address?
No.
In 45 years and being involved in missing persons cases, I've never had parents that wouldn't give me their address or wouldn't give me all the information about witnesses and give me every piece of home video or recordings or everything. Just they bring everything in they could possibly give, anything to help you find get your home address. We couldn't get the address of witnesses.
You have my home address. I filled it out on the piece of paper.
We couldn't get anything about where this... And I didn't know if you don't trust us or what. It's the first time in 45 years I've ever had that happen.
I don't know. It's still an ongoing investigation. How much information should I be giving out?
I take these things very seriously. We're looking for your daughter. Yep. I mean, this is...
We have been too.
Okay, that was huge. That was huge right there. Okay. I mean, 45 years, and that's never happened before. They wouldn't give their own address. I mean, they wouldn't give the witness's address. And like he said, they're not going to the extent that most parents in the last 45 years have to find their child. I also want to give you guys go over the recording about the tape. That's very important. I think it's important too for them to have interviewed that witness. That's so important. And I think the reason they didn't want to give him the address is because he's going to say, I don't know. I don't know if it was Carly. I can't guarantee that it was Carly. And I think that's why she may have said that reference earlier to, oh, he's a little bit older. So, let's get into another clip. Okay, so this next clip is going to be about Lindsay. Basically, that the Gooseys will not speak with Lindsay Fairley, and what Dr. Phil thinks about that.
He knows that Carly went missing from your guys' residence. His response was, well, at least you have an alibi. You're in another state. I believe there's evil in Zach and Melissa's house.
Fill in the blanks.
Well, I'm here with Melissa and Zach, who are father and stepmother to missing 16-year-old Carly. Now, also here is Carly's biological mother, Lindsay. She's been watching backstage because Melissa and Zach have said that they don't want to see or talk to her. Is that true? Y'all don't want to be with her?
No. And will she? Yeah.
No, not after the speculations and accusations she's put, especially against my wife and us, that I don't have time for it. I'd rather just look for my daughter than deal with
the drama.
The drama and the lies. I can't deal with
it. Well, I'm going to respect that, but again, I want to go on record in saying I think everybody should put their personal agendas aside and focus one thing, and that's on Carly. That's to find Carly, and differences between y'all should be buried, put aside. You should come together, work together, pool your resources, do everything you can to help find this child. And
she left.
And not have all
she didn't want to stay. She didn't want to help. She didn't go out and look with us. She didn't. 5 days after Carly went missing, she left. We offered her a car. Her mom lives, 20 minutes from our house. I said, you can borrow our car so you can stay. But she chose to go home. She didn't want. And then when we went out looking, she sat at my house. Like, and then you go home and excuse me of being a murderer?
I understand. Yes. Come together in a situation like this because it is her daughter, and I know she's hurting. I know Lindsay is. I know that, and but I'm not here for the drama. For that, I'm not here for that. I'm here to show Carly's face to your viewers, and hope and pray that this works.
Today's show is almost over, but we
are. All right, guys. So. Let me just break that down right there, okay? Dr. Phil was so right. I mean, they're really not talking to Lindsay because of how she feels. But if it was the other way around, I would think they would feel the same way about Lindsay. You know, Melissa made those same comments in my group when she came in and was talking. And she said, oh, we offered her this, this, and that. But she probably didn't feel too comfortable at that point. You know, for those of you who don't know, I run Missing Person Cases Network. And I run the group Carly Gousset, Missing from California. And Melissa did come into that group and answer some questions. And then also I messaged her and spoke to her briefly. And there's some discrepancies in what even we talked about. So that will come to light, but not, you know, anytime soon. These next couple episodes are just really just for public information. Also, the group that I was in charge of was once headed by Travis Moore, the one who was being talked about. And I have a lot of stuff on Travis, and I've published some of it, so you could find it if you wanted to. And I'm sure I will be publishing more stuff on him at some point, but just not right now, because I want to make this podcast about the facts of the case only. But the only time I'll be discussing him is when he did something that directly hindered the investigation involving slandering of a PI. So, you know, that's it for this week. But next week, or even I might even be doing like a quick little episode this week, just kind of more analyzing those Dr. Phil tapes, Dr. Phil episodes. But so next week I was going to do the Nancy Grace interviews of both Lindsay and the Gousset's. So, like I said, I'm just trying to get people that are getting new to the case some basic facts, but also trying to provide you guys with a little more information. You know, you guys can always message me, go to my Missing Person Cases Network on Facebook. On Instagram, it's missing_persons_network. On Twitter, it's the_MPC network. And I'm on YouTube at Missing Person Cases Network, where the video for this will be up. Always feel free to reach out to me, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye. Okay, this next clip, Dr. Phil is going to be going into conversation about that first witness guy. And a lot of the stuff that is said here really bothers me.
You drift off to sleep, you wake up, and at 6:30 she's gone.
7:15.
That was the next time you wake up was 7:15?
Yeah.
If she left, it was between 5:30 and 7:15.
6 o'clock and 7:15. But the first witness says that he saw her at 6:30, walking down our street.
Okay, at 6:30. Okay, and he described her as being having a piece of paper.
Having a piece of paper.
Looking up at the sky, but being really skinny. I mean, he described.
Yeah, he described her. Yeah. And
Long hair.
She had a white t-shirt, gray sweatpants, and she was holding a piece of paper. And then in a later interview, he told the journalist that she was actually looking up at the stars, which he never told me. So then that makes you think, well, maybe she was still under the influence of something.
Okay. We wanted to talk to him as well, but y'all wouldn't give us his information. Why?
For the guy down the street?
Yeah, for the witness that saw her.
No.
We asked for his address so we could talk to him.
Nobody asked me for his address.
And I'm not going to, well, honestly, I'm not going to bring them in unless they say they want to. I mean, there's three witnesses, and the last one, I don't even know who it is.
Y'all wouldn't even give us your address.
We've had people stalking us and threatening us.
Yeah. I stalk you?
No, but people that watch your show.
So have you ever seen me publish an address?
No.
In 45 years and being involved in missing persons cases, I've never had parents that wouldn't give me their address or wouldn't give me all the information about witnesses and give me every piece of home video or recordings or everything. Just they bring everything in they could possibly give, anything to help you find this child.
Right.
Everything.
No, I'm with
you.
We
couldn't get your home address. We couldn't get the address.
You have my home address. I filled it out on the piece of paper.
We couldn't get anything about where this. And I didn't know if you don't trust us or what. It's the first time in 45 years I've ever had that happen.
I don't know. It's still an ongoing investigation. How much information should I be giving out?
I take these things very seriously. We're looking for your daughter. Yeah. I mean, this is...
We have been too.
Okay, that was huge. That was huge right there. Okay. I mean, 45 years, and that's never happened before. They wouldn't give their own address. I mean, they wouldn't give the witness's address. And like he said, they're not going to the extent that most parents in the last 45 years have to find their child. I also want to give you guys go over the recording about the tape. That's very important. I think it's important too for them to have interviewed that witness. That's so important. And I think the reason they didn't want to give him the address is because he's going to say, I don't know. I don't know if it was Carly. I can't guarantee that it was Carly. And I think that's why she may have said that reference earlier to, oh, he's a little bit older. So, let's get into another clip. Welcome to Carly Goosey, The Truth Lies in Between. And most of you must know that there was a Dr. Phil episode today. Luckily I got an early viewing of it and had a lot of time to process it. And, all it really did for me was, make me believe that something nefarious is going on, and I do believe that Melissa may be responsible for this. There's just too many inconsistencies, just her answers, things she did. I'll play a few clips that I felt were very important, just things that just drew up even more red flags than I had before. I was really hoping that it wouldn't go that way, and that maybe we'd have a better insight that maybe Carly was alive, but I'm just not saying that. So before the Dr. Phil, me and my other host, we had planned out the first 5 episodes, but we plan on doing about 10. In the first episode, we spoke about the videos up until the last one, which is the most important one. So this episode was supposed to be about that one video, and the Dateline article. The Dateline article she said was false, but her reasoning is... I mean, difficult to believe, to say the least, because they're not going to tell you what you can and cannot say. Because I don't really know how to explain it, but they're not going to tell her that she had to say that she went and checked on the kids. So why make up a story like that? It doesn't add up. It's not adding up. You know, and it's getting more and more frustrating. So, I mean, I'm going to go over the Dateline article. And I had planned on doing Lindsay's Nancy Grace interview, but I'm going to do that with the Gooseys at the same time. But I plan on doing a video or at least a separate podcast just on the two Dr. Phil episodes. So it's important that we listen to that last live video, because that last live video is the most important. And you will see why. Because it's also been, you know, she's changed her story from that quite a few times as well, which, I understand forgetting things, but changing your story and changing the way things were, I can't get over that. There's something I can't get over. So let's play and get this video. Okay, ready? Here we go.